Well, before we can, I need to have a little coffee. Ooh, hot coffee. Sorry. Hi, everyone. My name is Eric Lanen. I'm a marketing consultant here at Redpath Consulting Group.
And my name is Paul Selway. I'm the president of Redpath.
So this is actually our first Redcast video. This is a combination of a podcast, webcast, and an everything cast, where we talk about best practices such as marketing and sales and service, and then also talk about the technology side of things. So looking at CRM, marketing automation platforms, and how they all kind of work together, and then provide you with best practices that you can use within your organization to better yourselves. So the very first topic that I'd like to introduce is the path to success. This is something that we've been talking about a lot here at Redpath, and I actually want to bring in Paul Selway, who is the father of the path to success, which is a process that he'll share with us. So Paul, what is it and why is it important?
The path to success is really a success blueprint. The reason people would maybe want to use it is to really define what done looks like. What does success look like before you build the solution? And you might think, why would you want to do that? Well, the key thing, if you know what done looks like, and you know how you're going to measure done, and you also know what success looks like. And it's very important as you become responsible for a CRM initiative, to have a good sense of what done looks like.
Yeah, and it's not just for CRMs, it could be anything you're trying to implement, right?
Yeah, I believe it could be. Most technology-enabled projects have a risk of failure. One would argue that on some level, 80% of all IT-enabled projects fail. They may have missed scope, they may have missed budget, they may have missed schedule.
Yeah.
And so it's really important as you enter into these technology-enabled projects to be really focused on what's important and prioritize things and have a clear view of the finish line.
Yeah. So what are the steps within the path to success?
Well, the path to success starts really with the strategy and the vision. Let's take a CRM. This is not the strategy and vision of your organization,
yeah.
But it's aligned to it. The key thing is that as you look forward to using a CRM, that you have a view of how it's going to be used in your organization and why it's being used. The next step really is to understand those key success metrics in a little bit more detail. You can't create a dashboard in a CRM system until you know what data you need, and you won't know what data you need until you really have some key success metrics. So typically a lot of organizations are interested in how effective their marketing is. They are also interested in closing more deals faster, and they're interested in keeping their customers, so customer service and customer satisfaction. Because, of course, if you add lots of customers, but you're losing them faster than you're adding them.
Not a good situation.
It's a problem. And then really create a high-level logical solution map of what it looks like with all the components. And no CRM lives in isolation. It's going to need to be integrated to your other systems or replace other systems. So get that out there for people to comment on, because often your vision of what it should be and everyone else's vision can be different.
Yeah.
The key thing also is do some voice of the customer interviews and make them anonymous. Make sure you interview the end users. Make sure you interview the sort of power users, the administrators, managers, and executives.
Yeah, because it's not just the executive team that should be driving everything. It's not just the end users. You need everyone, because at the end of the day, everyone's in the system. Of course, the executives, the managers, they're setting the directives for their end users and their teams of how to use the system and how the system can enable their success. But of course, you need alignment from top to bottom too.
Yeah, absolutely. there needs to be a WIFM factor, and I like the word WIFM. It means what's in it for me. And typically most successful systems are where the majority of the end users have a high value of what's in it for them. There's often a fear with CRM systems that it's going to be used to micromanage them, and that's something you have to trend away from, because people don't want to put stuff in that can be used against them in the future. But it's important to have that WIFM factor, and to the voice of the customer can bring that out in a way that, you know, is difficult to do in sort of an open forum.
Yeah.
Some of the other steps are to build a roadmap. Typically, you're not going to be able to do everything you want to do.
And that's not advisable either. You can't just go in first phase and do the whole project. That's unrealistic. You need time in between, right?
Exactly. And we call it a sort of crawl, walk, run approach, where you get the crawl is getting the basic CRM up and functioning and used. Then the walk might be adding some very specific capability you need. Maybe it's configure, price, quote. Maybe it's document management. Maybe it's quote generation. And then maybe then go into a run phase where you want to bolt on marketing automation and maybe a call center. So that roadmap really allows you to create a prioritized set of phases.
Yep.
And then guess what? You do phase one, phase two, three, and four are likely to change. That's because you've learned something, which is a good thing. And then finally, establishing a capability in-house to manage that CRM. It's a living, breathing solution. It's not one and done. So you're going to need some form of steering committee where you've got an executive sponsor, someone doing change management, someone ensuring that it gets the appropriate funding, and also someone that will train new users and onboard them and support them as they come on.
Yeah.
And then finally, once you've got that first phase in, that basic system, monitor the adoption. And adoption is how many people use it, how many people are creating records, how many managers are doing performance reviews out of data in that CRM, and see how it's being adopted. There is a temptation when you build new systems to throw them away too quickly or
they're not meeting the needs and just like, oh, it doesn't work, I don't want to spend more time fixing it, just start over.
People don't like change. People put their hands up and say, I love change. They don't like change. And it takes a while to change. So you have to give it a little bit of time. And, you know, ask yourselves, do you like change? The question would be, oh, yes, I like change. Do you want to lead change? Maybe not so many people put their hands up. Do you want to project manage this change right now? And you see we're down to less than one person in the room. And that person probably wasn't listening. So the other thing is, if you think about it, focus, you're focusing on that phase one, you divide that by the time that you use the system, the solution, and multiply it by the faith that you have that it's going to deliver the success you want. And that tells you that you need to be in it 2, 3, 4 months before you declare it successful. Partially successful, maybe need some help, or this was a bomb.
Yeah.
So it's important not to give up too quickly. So having that measure and monitor in place, and then not go straight on to phase two straight away. Stabilize phase one, get everyone using it and adopting it, and then add phase two. And you'll probably revisit what phase two is based on that learning.
Yeah, because as you said, it's a living, breathing document. It's designed to create a strategy, but it's also there to kind of keep some boundaries and guidelines for you. What's next to come and how to assist your users and take their feedback too, because it's not just top driven. You're going to get feedback, you're going to find bugs, you're going to discover those things that you're going to need to change or evolve from that first phase, which by nature will push off the subsequent phases.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, at the outset, typically when we ask our customers what do they want, they're saying, what should I ask for? They don't have a fully fleshed out view of what they want. So this incorporates that high level discovery as well. So you'll do a systems current state, system review, process, data review. You'll do a future state where like it's likely to go. and you'll help tease out those high level, what I call success requirements.
Yeah.
And then the other thing to consider, and is the soft side of things, how to do that organizational change management. This is where the steering committee comes in.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important step too, because it's the whole, the key players within the organization that are really driving this change. But they're also there to make the decisions, assist with the change management, inform the other teams of what's happening, what is their feedback on some of the stuff. So you really need to have that core team there to drive it, because if it's just one person, you're not going to really have that buy-in unless it's coming way up at the top. And mm-hmm. But it's good to have involvement from everyone, right?
Yeah, exactly. And those soft components are critical. That's why I strongly suggest that the end users get the lion's share of the change request during that first phase to really build up the WIFM factor, what's in it for me, for them, so they can understand, say, the CRM or marketing automation value proposition.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's all we have for this episode. We hope you stay tuned for the next one next week. That's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from him.
If you'd like to get this document, The Path to Success for Yourself, feel free to come to our website. We'll have a link to it in the description there. And we'll see you next time. Thanks.